1420 AM
and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Negotiations are making progress. Wait a minute, they're not. That's kind of how it's been as the White House and House Republicans try to come up with an agreement that keeps the country out of default. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
We can't be spending more money next year. We have to spend less than we spent the year before. It's pretty easy.
President Biden is at the G7 summit in Hiroshima, but correspondent Nicole Killian says he's very much engaged in the talks.
We know that he has been in touch with negotiators and his negotiating team, in fact, taking several opportunities while he has been abroad in Japan to talk with them by phone.
Mr. Biden plans to return from the G7 on Sunday. As for the summit itself, White House correspondent Willie James Inman says the war in Ukraine has been top of mind.
The G7 leaders discussed Ukraine during a session and announced more sanctions against Russia. They also spent part of the day laying a wreath at the site in Hiroshima, where their very first atomic bomb was used in war. And they condemned President Putin for threatening to use nuclear weapons against Ukraine.
The Massachusetts National Guard member accused of leaking highly classified documents is expected to be in court for a bail hearing in about an hour and a half. The documents Jack Texera is accused of leaking showed up on social media. Former federal prosecutor David Aaron.
Primarily, the judge is going to be thinking about does the defendant present a risk of flight? And is there a possibility, a likelihood that the defendant would attempt to tamper with evidence or witnesses? Now, there are several factors that the judge will consider and arguments that the prosecutors have made.
Another alleged leak of confidential information involves a Washington police officer now under arrest. Here's CBS's Cammie McCormick.
This officer was arrested today for not just lying, but obstructing an investigation after the Proud Boys destroyed a Black Lives Matter banner in the nation's capital. Shane Lamond of the Metropolitan Police Department allegedly warned the group's leader that there was an arrest warrant out for him. He's been indicted by a grand jury and will make a court appearance today.
The Fed chair says the central bank's benchmark interest rate is high enough to restrain borrowing, which could finally slow inflation. CBS's Jason Brooks.
Speaking at a monetary policy conference in Washington, D.C., Fed Chair Jerome Powell said inflation is still far above the Fed's 2% target, and the central bank is strongly committed to getting inflation down to that goal. Powell says high inflation continues to pose significant hardship on consumers, and that failing to bring inflation down to 2% will prolong the pain for Americans.
On Wall Street, the Dow has lost 150 points. The Nasdaq is down 48. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering professional-grade industrial supplies, plus real-time product availability and access to experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Dr. Rick here. If you find yourself getting particular about where you get the weather, you may be turning into your parents.
Looks like it might rain. Let's see what Corey from Channel 2 has to say. He's something else. I like him better than Harris from Channel 5.
You could just look up the weather on your phone.
I like Corey from Channel 2.
Progressive can't help you from becoming your parents, but we can help you compare rates on home insurance with HomeQuote Explorer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. The next Ruby's Pantry distribution is tomorrow, May 20th. This drive-through only event begins at 8 a.m., but you're encouraged to come early to Pitch Elementary School to get in line. For $25, you will receive approximately 70 pounds of food. You can visit the Emmanuel Lutheran Church Facebook page for more information. The Riverfront Rendezvous in Stevens Point is looking for local artisans for their market in the park, July 1st, from noon to 5. If you're a local artisan, send in your application to be considered before June 15th. It's $35 for a 10-by-10-foot booth space. Visit StevensPoint.com for more information. Some help could be on the way to Wisconsin communities with water plagued with PFAS pollution. The Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee has voted to create a $125 million trust fund to deal with forever chemicals. The idea is to provide some help now until there's a long-term solution. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 58. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 41. Tonight, clear skies. Bright sunshine expected again. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 74. Mid-70s Sunday and Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 56.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
We gotta roll with it. We gotta roll with it, Luke. Come on, buddy. It's Friday.
All right, folks. Welcome to Dueling Tangents. My name is Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. For Mad Radio, 92.7 FM, WMDX, 1580 AM, and around the state of Wisconsin on a Civic Media radio station near you. You can find out where
recording
all of those radio stations
progress.
Are across the Civic Media network by heading over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. But around the state, the Shaw and Waukesha, Talk of Green Bay and Green Bay, and so many more. And it's Friday, so we will take your tangents on just about anything. We're going to get to the most Wisconsin headline of the week coming up a little bit later. But to start today's show, we are joined by State Representative Francesca Hong, representing the 76th Assembly District in the State Assembly. Francesca, how are we doing on this Friday afternoon?
I'm doing well, Luke. Please call me Fran.
I always feel like I got to get the formal introduction out there first, though.
I generally make just the Republicans call me Representative Hong, so we're amongst friends today, right?
Well, appreciate that, Fran. I'm really glad that you have some time to take out of your Friday afternoon to join me here on the airwaves. The big guy, Brian, wanted to be here, but he insists he will be stopping by the restaurant for either a late lunch or dinner. I don't know the exact timing, but he's planning to swing over there and get some ramen so that he can count that as his visit with you today.
I love that. Sending Brian all the good vibes. The team will absolutely take care of him.
Perfect. Well, we appreciate you joining us. And we've got just a couple of things going on here in the state of Wisconsin these days. You know, it's an off year. I would think with the elections behind us now that we've had our spring elections, we would be waiting for a slow news day. But unfortunately, we don't really receive those here in the state of Wisconsin. It is kind of all the time coming at us. And so we've got a shared revenue proposal that's going on. We've got the budget process. And we're also in the midst right now of Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. That is the month of May. And you have a proposal that I was a little surprised when I saw this over at Madison 365, but it's a bipartisan proposal, Fran. What can you tell us about the proposal teaching Hmong history here in Wisconsin that is before the legislature?
Absolutely. So before I was in the legislature, Representative Katrina Shanklin and some of her Republican colleagues then introduced a bill that would add Asian Americans and Hmong Americans specifically to Act 31. Now, what Act 31 does is it designates that school boards include instruction on African Americans, Latinos, as well as Indigenous folks. And Asian Americans were excluded in that legislation. So what this bill does is it includes Asian Americans, and it's been introduced now, I think, over three sessions, and each time it has stalled in committee and was never given a public hearing. This year, we reintroduced it with Republicans actually as the lead author. So we have Representative Pat Snyder over in Wausau, and then Senators Corey Tomchick and Jesse James up in central and western Wisconsin as well. They are the primary authors. And this year, the Education Committee will be giving it a public hearing, which is an incredibly big step for us. We know that last session, it was fewer than 11% of Democratic-led bills that received, bipartisan bills that received a public hearing. So we're so excited that AB 32 will be given a public hearing in the Committee on Education. None of this would have happened without countless hours of organizing, advocacy, and engagement from students, families, school champions all across the state. But I think it goes to show that organizing works.
Yeah, it's fantastic to hear because I'm a product of the public schools here in the state of Wisconsin, and believe yourself as well. So it's interesting to me, though, to note through my public education that I was unaware of Wisconsin having the third highest population of Hmong Americans in our state. And so the fact that Asian American heritage and history was left out of that original provision, I think it makes perfect sense to add that in and be able to update our public school curriculum across the state of Wisconsin. And it's terrific to hear that we have a public hearing, and that's the first step. And obviously there's going to be a lot more organizing that needs to go on to continue to move that proposal forward. And it is terrific to hear that there are lead sponsors now that are of the Republican Party getting behind that, because as you noted, it was in a very, very small fraction of the proposals last session that even if they were bipartisan in nature, if they were introduced by Democratic lawmakers, they did not see those public hearings. And so we are in the midst, though, of AAPI Heritage Month. There's terrific ways for people to get more information. I've been keeping an eye on the History Channel. That's where I've been seeing a lot of the updates for Asian American Pacific Heritage Month. I know that there's a lot of newsletters going around encouraging individuals to go and support Asian businesses across the state of Wisconsin. For some listeners out there that may not have the resources or are just unaware of those resources, how can they learn more about how to participate and celebrate AAPI Heritage Month?
Well, you're welcome to visit. Our office have multiple resources via our social media pages, or you can send us an email or a DM, and we're happy to provide additional resources about Asian-owned businesses in your area. But I think what's most important to remember about Asian American stories and Asian American history is that it's distinctly American. It's distinctly Wisconsin. Our values when it comes to respecting the elders, being in community, knowing that, we are, a fast growing population, but also one that is not a monolith. And we have many diverse stories and so much to contribute to every community. So get to know folks in your Asian community. Obviously, getting small history lessons are great as well. But I think what's most important to remember is that we are here, we are leaders in communities, and that we're all across the state.
Yeah. And you yourself, the first Asian American lawmaker elected to the state legislature. And so I saw your statement on this being Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. You hope to be the first of many that come to the legislature and get to serve the state of Wisconsin. And as we are seeing right now, the process for serving the state is going through the budgeting process. Unfortunately, we had about 545 provisions that were removed from the Joint Finance Committee. But you yourself, a small business owner, I know that there's many organizations trying to continue to put some terrific pieces of legislation into the upcoming biennial budget for small business owners specifically. What can you tell us about the budgeting process here in the state of Wisconsin and how that's been looking for small business owners like yourself?
Yes. So as you mentioned, unfortunately, the will of the people, which was reflected in the governor's budget with his multiple listening sessions and Democrats across the state, ensuring that we were putting the priorities of the Wisconsin people, like legalizing cannabis, increasing food security, making sure that small businesses like myself were able to offer things like childcare and making investments in housing. 545 of those provisions were stripped. Budget and now the Joint Committee on Finance are doing what we call executive sessions. And so they meet and they vote on provisions to be included in the final bill, the budget bill that will be presented to the legislature later this June. Unfortunately, one of the items that would have been incredibly beneficial to small business owners across the state was paid family and medical leave. We know that neighboring states around us, we are now an island where we don't have comprehensive paid leave policies. And as a mom, as someone who values people, you know, taking care of their families, it's so important that folks have resources available to be able to take time off to care for their loved ones. And I think that this is really hurting small businesses' ability to be able to retain and recruit talented staff. And so although we're disappointed to see that paid leave was removed from the budget, one of the big issues we're advocating for is investment in childcare. Childcare is essential infrastructure. The people taking care of our children while parents and caregivers are working, they need raises. They need to be able to go to work in places that are providing a good environment for them so that we can take care of our youngest. And so I think this investment in childcare, you're seeing a coalition of different business bodies, including the Restaurant Association, including Main Street Alliance, that have been advocating for investment in childcare in this critical infrastructure for years. We are hoping that when the executive, when JFC meets to vote on investing the needed, the baseline $300 million for childcare accounts to make sure we don't see more childcare businesses and providers have to close. Because we're already seeing it. We're seeing what happens when we disinvest from our communities. And when there's infrastructure as critical as childcare, that impacts folks regardless of if they have kids or not. I have business owner friends who don't have kids, and they recognize how important a strong childcare infrastructure it is to make sure that we have healthier, more whole workforces and that our families are feeling supported. And so for us, we're putting as much as we can behind investment in childcare. And then for me personally right now, as a member of the Healthy School Meals for All Coalition, we were sad to see universal school meals get stripped from the budget, but we're continuing to advocate for free breakfast for all kids across our state.
Fantastic. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by State Representative Francesca Hong. And it is very important to point out, Fran, that we know some of these things are, there are policy decisions that can be made that have a concrete impact, specifically when it comes to policy surrounding children, because we cut child poverty in half at the federal level with an expanded childhood tax credit. That tax incentive cut child poverty in half. Investing in childcare and doing things for our children, we can see the real-world ramifications of what those policies have on families across the state of Wisconsin and across the United States when they're implemented. And so I think it's very important that we're investing in our children. I think it's very important that we're going to be investing in many different things in this budget. It's a biennial budget. It's a huge piece of legislation. We also know that there's a huge piece of legislation going through the state legislature right now. So we do have to head to a commercial break, but I want to pick your brain on the shared revenue proposals that are being discussed, both the Republican state lawmaker proposals and the one from Governor Tony Evers. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us here on this Friday afternoon, you can give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. Joined by State Representative Francesca Hong, representing the 76th Assembly District in the State Assembly. And it's a beautiful Friday afternoon, so if you're on the road, you're listening along to Civic Media, share a tangent with us. We're going to continue the conversation with the representative when we get back.
Time to turn Fridays into Fri-yays with WFHR.HiveOffDeal.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more.
This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
This week's deal is from Becky's Sugar Shack Bakery and Cafe. Get a $50 gift card for just $25. That's right, $50 for just $25. From sweet treats to five-star Italian beefs. Becky's Sugar Shack Bakery and Cafe in Adams Friendship.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.HiveOffDeal.com.
Wesley is a truck driver.
I drive a truck, and I love what I do.
A truck driver with IRS troubles.
They told me I owed them $43,000.
It got really bad.
Quite a few letters in the mail. They were talking about wage garnishment coming after my house, my car. Yeah, they don't play around. I seriously thought that I was going to lose everything.
One sleepless night, Wesley finally made a call to Optima Tax Relief at 2 a.m.
Kind of figured I'd get a machine, but I didn't. I actually got to talk to an actual person in the middle of the night.
He found just what he was looking for.
Oh, they were great people. You need a team of people that know what they're doing. Optima Tax, they know what they're doing.
Optima Tax Relief came through with flying colors.
I saved an incredible amount of money. Happy, don't even come close. I was absolutely overjoyed.
Take Wesley's advice.
If you're in any kind of trouble with the IRS, call Optima Tax Relief. Don't trust anybody else.
Call Optima for a free consultation. Call 800-783-8055. That's 800-783-8055. 800-783-8055.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Hear ye, hear ye, everyone. The King Charles Latte has arrived. The English toffee and vanilla are so smooth. Find your royal treat at From the Ground Up Coffee House, Wisconsin Rapids. A royal thank you to this week's Pet of the Week sponsor, From the Ground Up Coffee House.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
It's Friday.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
You said it, man.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're up to here as a growing radio network across the state of Wisconsin, follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all of the socials, Civic Media. And I am joined on a Friday afternoon by Francesca Hong, state representative representing the 76th Assembly District in the State Assembly. And Francesca, we've got an interesting dilemma, it seems like, at the different state assembly and state senate Republicans finding where they are on shared revenue.
Luke, Republicans are in disarray.
But
they seem to be playing each other right now, and I am okay with that if it just wasn't at the expense of the people of Wisconsin.
Yeah, if the stakes weren't so high, I think it would be a little bit more interesting to keep an eye on. But because the stakes are so high for our local municipalities, it's very important that a piece of legislation gets sent through the state legislature and signed by Governor Tony Evers. He indicated when the Republican proposal initially came out that he was not going to be able to sign it as is. He threatened a veto, and it got Republican lawmakers having a conversation about where they could make some changes and seek some compromise. At least some of our Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin. Robin Voss is pretty much this week came out to the steps of the state capitol and said, "I'm done negotiating." He made very, very little concessions. He essentially raised the minimum threshold from 10% to 15% for funding to municipalities, but still kept in all of the strings attached for the city and county of Milwaukee to be able to accept the increases of shared revenue. And really, as I believe it was State Senator Lena Taylor saying, that it is essentially a gun to the county and city's head when it comes to finances. It's saying you need to accept this, otherwise you're going to go off a fiscal cliff. And so we'd love to just hear your thoughts that how it's been unfolding in the state capitol, in the building, about these discussions surrounding shared revenue and where you believe there may be some compromise between the Republican proposal and the proposal put forth by Democratic Governor Tony Evers.
So I think first, it's really important to recognize that for the past 12 years, we've been asking our towns, our cities, our villages to do more with less. Shared revenue, the money that is coming in from taxpayers across the state, should be shared with local municipalities so they can provide vital services like fire and EMS, and making sure that local roads and stop signs and city services all function properly. But unfortunately, that formula has been broken because the state has not been distributing their fair share. It is due time that local municipalities are properly funded so that they can provide the services that Wisconsinites rely on. The governor's budget proposal for shared revenue put in a good chunk of that almost $7 billion surplus we have right now so that our local municipalities and our counties are able to provide vital services for our communities. Unfortunately, the Republicans, are saying they may be arguing in good faith and have been bringing folks to the table. But unfortunately, these negotiations have created a bill that is not ready for prime time, that is inadequate, and that is unfinished. For the speaker to say that now he is done negotiating is basically saying he's going to punt. He's evading responsibility. And it's incredibly unfortunate because these dollars that need to go to our municipalities, especially the city of Milwaukee, it is a very critical juncture. And so it's, again, to play politics instead of putting Wisconsinites first is something that we see our Republican colleagues doing all the time. I'm somewhat hopeful that the Senator Devin LeMahieu is indicated that he may take some of the policies out. But what is needed most is what the governor proposed, a clean bill that doesn't put policies into the shared revenue formula. When Republicans back in the Walker days, they would talk about local control all the time. But unfortunately, the bill in front of us undermines local control. It takes away local municipalities from doing things like putting in referendum and deciding how to use the dollars that their constituents have been paying. We want there to be autonomy for our cities, villages, and towns. They know what's best for their communities. And so ultimately, what's needed is a clean bill. What I think the compromise will be is hopefully there will be local municipalities will still have authority to do more with the dollars. We're eagerly anticipating what happens in the Senate. But I am hopeful that we are going to get much needed relief out to our local municipalities.
Yeah, and it's going to be very important to keep an eye on how the state Senate, through its public hearing in the coming days and weeks, formulates their proposal, what passes that legislative body, and how the two sides between the state assembly and state Senate will have to come together around that. And a lot of the things that happen inside the building do receive some public pressure from outside organizing, as you and I have discussed both today and many a times in your appearances in the past. What can you tell us about what's going on around the state capitol tomorrow?
Yes. And so we know that investment in our kids, they are needed now so that we have a more sustainable future for Wisconsin. When I hear my Republican colleagues not want to make investments in our children and their well-being, I wonder who do they expect to take care of them when they get older and aren't working anymore. But what's most important for our communities, rural, urban, suburban, is investment in our schools. And so there is going to be a rally tomorrow afternoon at the state capitol, Saturday, May 20th at 2 p.m. You can join other public school champions, parents, educators, community members who know how important it is to have strong public schools for our democracy, for our kids, and our communities.
Fantastic. So you can enjoy the farmers market up on the square, and then go and do a little political action, maybe grab some lunch with a terrific bowl of ramen like Brian's going to try to do today for either his late lunch or early dinner. Francesca Hong, thank you so much for joining us here on Dueling Tangents. We really appreciate you taking some time out of your Friday afternoon and joining us.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. Take care.
Thanks, you too. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
Download the Civic.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Ron and Joan's Garden in Custer opens for the season on Saturday, May 20th. You can visit the nursery, take a self-guided garden walk and sculpture tour. They're open 8 to 4, 7 days a week at 3209 Custer Road. Next week, you can watch hockey for free at the 10th annual Mosey Leppin Classic Adult Hockey Tournament, May 25th through the 27th, with games starting at 6 p.m. It'll be at the Ice Hawks Arena in Stevens Point. They'll have good food, raffles, and entertainment each night from 7:30 to 11:30. The bands playing are 2-Hour Notice on Thursday, Tailwater on Friday, and Miles Wangren Band on Saturday. Friday night's benefit game at 6 is for Hazel Sexton, a 2-year-old girl with a brain tumor. Come help support our youth hockey program and Hazel fundraiser. For more information, visit icehawkshockey.net or Stevens Point Adult Hockey on Facebook. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor. Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Overcast skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 58. Northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 41. Tonight, clear skies. Bright sunshine expected again. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 74. Mid-70s Sunday and Monday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 56.
Next excellent summer holidays, that is, we got Flag Day, Independence Day, all the way through Labor Day. when you're traveling throughout the summer, take us with you on the go. Download the Civic Media app. Wherever apps are downloaded, you can jump from station to station, stream to stream, and hear all the excellent programming being produced here by Civic Media. And I want to thank again State Representative Francesca Hong for joining us for that first half hour of the show. If you missed any portion of the show, you can check out the podcast. It will be posted later this afternoon. And really appreciate Francesca taking the time out of her afternoon to join us to discuss all of those topics. And interestingly, she brought up something that I want to dive into before we get head over to the most Wisconsin headline of the week. And if you've got a Wisconsin headline that you want to submit for the most Wisconsin headline of the week, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. Evan, I have a feeling you're not going to be surprised by what I got pulled for the most Wisconsin headline.
I don't like surprises, Luke.
I don't think you're going to be surprised. Don't worry. But before we get to that, something Francesca and I were alluded to in our conversations, and this one came up to me, is investing in young people. And Republicans so adamantly against childcare, being able to fund universal school lunch and breakfast, and all of the various things. The attacks on education, telling schools and libraries what books they can and cannot read. It's baffling to me why Republicans are so shocked that they come up with theories like indoctrination. It's the schools are indoctrinating these young people. It's not that our ideas are terrible. It's the indoctrination at our schools. And the headline came across in preparing for today's show. And it's an interesting headline because it doesn't really allude to the body of the piece, but kind of does. The return of the emerging Democratic majority? This is over at New York Magazine, written up by Eric Levitz.
Emerging Democratic majority?
Yeah, you got that upwards inflection. Good job. Good job, Yee. But essentially, it talks about how Zoomers, the Generation Z, Zoomers, and Millennials are now to the point where we are the largest voting bloc for demographics here in Wisconsin. Excuse me, the country. And so the rise was first seen in 2018 when in a midterm election year, which typically tends to have lower voter turnout, it was surprising how many young people came out to vote in 2018. And goes into something that we talked about a lot here on Dueling Tangents all last fall, is the lack of the red wave that was supposed to be in this most recent midterm election, 2022. And so, talking about the demographic changes to be able to explain why the electoral results of 2022 were against the standard trend. Typically, in the midterm election, the party that is in the White House, the political party of the president, tends to fare poorly compared to the out of the White House party.
To my mind, I mean, it was a frenetic 4 years. It was intense. I mean, that he wore people out. 45 wore people out. I mean, the constancy, if that's a word. Just how intense it was.
Yeah.
Never ending.
And 2022 was going to be a jump away from that, Evan. He was not on the ballot. He was not on the ballot in 2022. He did endorse a lot of candidates. So through extension, he was on some ballots, you could say. Tim Michaels, the Republican nominee for governor here in Wisconsin, was very excited to have that endorsement throughout the primary. And then the day after the primary, tried to get rid of it. But there's been a lot of conversation. There's going to be a lot of analysis still going forward about the 2022 numbers. How we got to where we are. Why the effects were not what it was not. Past was not prologue in 2022. There were trends that were tossed. Those trends did not see. And yes, Republicans still won back the House of Representatives. But they did not fare well in statewide elections or elections for the U.S. Senate. And so this piece over at the New York Magazine discusses why those trends may be the case and why Gen Z and millennials may be voting the way that they are. So the opening of the piece goes through a lot of analysis, specifically from the Democratic data firm Catalyst. It points to another critical factor of why those trends were bucked. And it's the political ascendance of millennials and Zoomers. America's youngest adult generation has been integral to the 2018 blue wave. Millennials saw their turnout rate surge from 22% in 2014, in that midterm year, to 42% 4 years later in 2018. The oldest Zoomers became eligible to vote in that midterm for the first time, and they cast ballots at a rate higher than millennials or Gen Xers had in their respective first midterms. Critically, Zoomers and millennials collectively cast more than 60% of their votes for Democrats, helping the party win the national House vote by a landslide margin.
And I was shocked, right?
That was back in 2018.
Yeah. A lot of people were really, really impressed, you could say, at the turnout.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I try and sort of temper the excitement, that frenetic antisocial energy that the GOP has been bringing. I mean, there's a counterweight to it. People are going to get uncomfortable with it. People are going to want to do something about it. You know, the timing was almost sort of perfectly metered to get people to the polls.
Right. And you know? So discussed that this was an ominous development, and this reading from the piece, it was an ominous development for the GOP. Still, Republican operatives could comfort themselves with a pair of thoughts, two thoughts. First, while America's rising generations might turn out in historical high numbers to rebuke President Trump, their participation was bound to fall sharply once politics grew more banal. And second, though millennials and Zoomers were currently the least Republican generations that America had produced since Lincoln's time, they would surely age into a more ordinary partisan distribution. But in 2022, we saw that was not kind thinking, or it was not kind to the wishful thinking of those two thoughts. And so we've seen now, and now there's a question of whether or not those anomalies of 2018 and 2022 of higher voter turnout among younger generations is now going to be the trend rather than an exception to the rules.
Not even an exception, right? A response to that intensity, once again. As things cool down a little bit, I would expect the numbers to cool down as well. That's my take on it.
Well, and interestingly enough, Evan, that's the take of this piece too. It is not surprising that millennials have retained their exceptionally strong Democratic lean even as they've exited their youth. Although cohorts do tend to grow a bit more conservative when or if they have children and buy a home, most voters' political affiliations are cemented in adolescence and early adulthood when a myriad of other aspects of their identities are forged. Millennials spent their formative years watching George W. Bush preside over catastrophic wars and an economic disaster, while his party embraced soon-to-be-discredited social crusades such as opposition to gay marriage. And millennials were also raised by parents who were markedly more social liberal than the boomers' forebears. It is therefore unsurprising that the generation has proven durably hostile to a Republican Party that refuses to abandon the culture commitments of America's white evangelical minority. And so I think that in really well summation sums up how we got the midterm election results that we had in 2018 and 2022. And we can continue to see these cultural fights just being picked up by the Republican Party here in Wisconsin and around the country. Bud Light, Mr. Potato Head, Dr. Seuss, these cultural wars that they want to wage, that they want M&Ms.
It wears people out.
M&Ms.
Man. You know, it's fun for a little while. It's fun for a little while.
It's not even fun for a little while, Evan. Yeah. Most of the time, I'm just scratching my head and I'm saying, where is this coming from?
It's fun for them, you know? It's a morsel to chew on for a little bit. But your dog gets tired, right? Yeah. You can't chew all the time.
Yeah.
24/7 for years.
So this piece is an excellent, again, long-form journalism over at the New York Magazine. I highly recommend it. It is a fascinating piece talking about the specific trends, because this will be a topic that we'll continue to talk about here on Dueling Tangents, is whether or not 2018 and 2022 were outliers or the beginning of a new trend. Because a lot of folks... Evan, we were called crazy here on Dueling Tangents during the 2022 midterms. I'm talking about how I did not think it was going to be a red wave. I talked about it. I was receiving the data. Simon Rosenberg, a political scientist that I was following very closely, was talking about a lot of these trends and a lot of this information. back in October and November leading up to those midterms, and you had people calling in, no, it's going to be a red wave, and red tsunami.
Yeah, I saw people cooling off too. You know, I didn't get the same data you did, but just because things got pretty spooky for a little while there around 2018, you could see it. You could really see it around, right?
Yeah.
Where I lived, you could see it, you know, more flags, you know, people doing these little, not parades, but just driving around the block, driving around town for a few hours, you know, with a bunch of flags up, music blasting. It was this sort of really weird energy.
Well, and, it's interesting because the Let's Go Brandon signs that I've seen in my community, they're gone.
Yes, they are.
They've been fading away. They've been leaving. And so it's going to be interesting to see when, it seems like he's going to be back on the ballot this time. All signs are pointing to a 2024 rematch between former President Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
And DeSantis. That's weird, man. That's weird.
Do you think?
I don't know. I just don't. He has a lot of money. He's got that going for him, which is nice.
I think he...
He has no charisma. Goodness gracious.
He has negative charisma.
Yes, he does.
I would say he has negative. It's not that he has no charisma. He has negative charisma.
Yeah.
But I think he's been delaying an announcement for president because I think he's second guessing it.
He's been trashing Trump. That's the thing that sort of...
You could still do that as governor of a state, though. You don't have to be a presidential candidate.
It just
to do
seems
that.
Rather aggressive, you know, if you're not going to be...
I don't think he's been nearly aggressive enough. I don't know. If he truly wanted to jump into that race, I think you have to come out swinging. You have to take the talking points that Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey, is using, saying that you got to punch Trump right in the mouth.
Well, through a Charlie horse. That's how I see it.
Through
a Charlie horse.
I don't even know if there's anything been that strong. I think the pudding fingers remarks that DeSantis has been labeled with is the hardest punch I've seen in any hypothetical Republican primary so far. But it is interesting to see if Ron DeSantis does announce. But even
because I wouldn't know who else it would be. That's really the only thing.
If you're given the choice though between Coke and Diet Coke, Evan, one are you picking? Which one are you picking? Are you picking Coke or Diet Coke? If you're a fan of Coca-Cola, are you going to pick Coke or Diet Coke?
Coke.
Right. Coca-Cola. And so if you're a Republican voter that's a fan of Donald Trump, you're not going to take Donald Trump light in Ron DeSantis or any of the other GOP governors that would try to imitate and impersonate Donald Trump and be like, I'm Donald Trump without the baggage. If you can vote for Donald Trump, if you're a Trump fan and you have that option in the GOP primary, which all signs are pointing that he is going to be the front runner in that primary, Republican primary voters are going to vote for Donald Trump.
Sure.
It does not seem like any of the other alternatives are making the case. And then you've got Trump back on the ballot again. So then it's not a midterm like 2018 or 2022 when his name's not on the ballot. It is an instance of 2020.
Gotta say, though, the last month has been pretty nice. He's been taking some hits.
It'll be interesting to see. We'll continue to keep an eye on that primary as well. We're going to get to the most Wisconsin headline of the week coming up next, as well as your phone calls. You can call or text 844-967-2789. It is a Friday afternoon here on Dueling Tangents. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents there. Keep up with the show after we end at 3 o'clock.
What's Elon doing, do you think?
I think he's just running a social media company into the ground. Folks, share your tangents with us on this Friday afternoon, 844-967-2789.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fri-yays with WFHR.HaveOffDeal.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business.
This week's deal is from Becky's Sugar Shack Bakery and Cafe. Get a $50 gift card for just $25. That's right, $50 for just $25. From sweet treats to five-star Italian beefs. Becky's Sugar Shack Bakery and Cafe in Adams Friendship.
Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.HaveOffDeal.com.
People ask me all the time what the word PLUS in our name, Quality Plus Printing, stands for. Well, P is for pride. We take pride in our work and in being your locally owned full-service printer. L is for the latest technology and equipment. U is for unbeatable value. And S is for superior customer service. Experience the PLUS on your next printing and design project. Quality Plus Printing. We'll get your words out. 3515 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. And call us at 715-423-7440.
Home Furniture has been Central Wisconsin's home for the best in furniture for more than 60 years and four generations. Brands you know and trust, such as Lazy Boy, Ashley, Smith Brothers, and more. Our professionally trained consultants will help you find what you are looking for at an affordable price. Let our family help you create a space that's truly yours. Home Furniture, stop in for immediate availability or create your own piece. Home Furniture, Wisconsin Rapids and Plover.
This is Mike Moen from Wisconsin News Connection. You may have heard my stories on civic media. Wisconsin News Connection is surveying listeners to learn how to better report on issues important to you. Go to WISNewsSurvey.com, fill it out, and you'll be entered to win a $50 Target gift card. Once again, WISNewsSurvey.com to help improve the news and enter to win a $50 Target gift card. Thanks, and we look forward to your response at WISNewsSurvey.com.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Fruit and Dumb.
You guys really make sense.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
It's Friday, 'cause I've been working all week. I've got a feeling inside me, a feeling like
welcome back to Dueling Tangents. You can share a tangent with us in our final segment of the week, 844-967-2789. Again, the number to call or text, 844-967-2789. And it's time for the most Wisconsin headline of the week. Evan, I'm a little upset about this one, but boy, I think we are probably the only state where this can make such a major headline. Maybe there's one, two other states that would have it, but you got any guesses of what I saw this week as the most Wisconsin headline?
I don't. I know some cliches. I know some Midwestern stereotypes, but no. Give it to me.
After 87 years, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is getting a new name.
Ooh, yeah.
Do you see this one?
No, I don't like this.
You didn't see that Oscar Mayer's going to rename the Wienermobile?
I don't like this at all.
It's going to be called the Frankmobile.
Oh, the other name's like misogynist or something. Like they're...
No.
You're going woke on us, Luke.
It's not even going woke. It's an ad campaign. Very similar to how Planters decided to kill Mr. Peanut. They're just... they're trying to come up with a little bit of marketing and... American meat and cold cut producer Oscar Mayer has changed the name of its famous Wienermobile to the Frankmobile. The company, whose history in Madison spans 100 years, says the change is reflective of the hot dog recipe it will be releasing this summer. Since 1936, the hot dog themed Wienermobile, whose drivers are known as hot doggers, has been used to promote Oscar Mayer products. The Frankmobile mostly resembles the Wienermobile, except for a decal displaying the new name. So it's going to have 100% Frankfurters, essentially, now. It's going to be the Frankmobile. And I feel like if they wanted to change it, they could have made it Frank the Tank.
Yeah, I like it. Even though, isn't that... I think that references like a pretty terrible like crime spree that happened on the West Coast. Yeah,
really?
A guy built a tank in his garage. This is a tangent for us. I wish I had the story in front of me.
You're the true crime professional here on Dueling Tangents.
Oh, yeah. A disgruntled man sort of huddled out in his home and over the course of like months and months and months built a tank. You know, he built a transmission and the frame for it and all the armor
plating. He put
plating.
Together a tank.
Yes. And then he went on, I don't believe anybody got hurt or died.
With a tank involved? That's surprising.
Well,
then.
He just tooled
around
town. A
homemade tank.
Yeah, running streetlights over, you know, and damaging cop cars. Like, it was a pretty intense, yeah.
It's a pretty intense. You want to know what I think of when I hear Frank the Tank?
I know what I, well.
I think of the old school. with Will Ferrell.
Yes.
Will Ferrell going streaking Frank the Tank.
It was here somewhere.
Yes, in the movie Old School. And that's the only thing that I can think of. But I feel like changing it from Wienermobile to Frankmobile just to promote a change in the recipe for the hot dogs that Oscar Mayer is producing, I guess if you're looking for a marketing ploy, you can go with it. But
nobody
at the
wins
same
here,
time,
man. Nobody wins here.
At the same time, this is a pretty Wisconsin headline to see that the beloved Wienermobile is changing its name for marketing reasons. And this submission brought to us by William Walter. He wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about it on Wednesday, and Will said, "No, no, no. You need to save that one for the most Wisconsin headline of the week." So that was Will's submission, and it is my winner for this week, because by far, very interesting to see that this is what's making headlines, is the marketing ploy for Oscar Mayer. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us here in the final minutes of the show for the week, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You got something there? Oh, okay. All right. You're signaling to me that you got something.
I'll be back in a moment.
Oh,
I won't leave. I'm here with you.
I thought it was, I got one more thing I wanted to add to the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
I wish.
Yeah, it is a pretty interesting marketing ploy. But also going on with some of the notable Wisconsin headlines is over at the Journal Sentinel, talking about how Milwaukee is the specific, one of the only places in the world where you can have a city that is celebrating all of the different festivals that it will be celebrating this year. So festival season kicking off on the Summerfest grounds, the Henry Mayer Festival grounds on Milwaukee's lakefront. And that was a close runner-up. Can you hear me?
Yeah, buddy, I got you.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear myself. And then, all right. But talking about all the festivals going around the area for the city of Milwaukee, including Summerfest, but all of the Irish Fest, German Fest, Festa Italiana, and so many more. So that is another very Wisconsin headline of the week. But it is very fascinating to see the Wienermobile changing its name to the Frankmobile.
This is not a good thing. No one wins here. Like you said, it's almost a century of lore, of established presence.
Did you ever get to tour one?
Maybe in school once. If I did, it was, I can say this now, over 20 years ago.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah.
I had friends that used to like follow it around when it was in town to try to see, wait to get it to stop, because they always gave the whistles away.
Oh, yeah. No, so they were pumped, ready to go.
So there was always, throughout the summers in high school, the friends would be driving around for Wienermobile sightings and try. I believe one of my friends got to sit in the front seat. I would have to ask him real quick to find out if that truly was the case, but that was... for a while there, I feel like that's a Wisconsin tradition, is going and getting your picture taken with the Wienermobile, but now it's going to be the Frankmobile.
And there are six of them. You know, there are six Wienermobiles.
What?
So they can be everywhere at once. That's right. There are
Did
six
we
of
have
them.
One specifically located here in Wisconsin? Because I know that the Oscar Mayer is now left from the Madison plant. Next closest plant, I want to say, is Davenport or Des Moines.
I can only imagine that, yeah, they do strategically space them out, right? But there is an app. There is an app that you can download.
There's an app that you can track the Frankmobile now?
The Frankmobile, that's right.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to see. Well, that's a cool app. The Civic Media app, much, much cooler. But that I may have to see if I can get that onto my smartphone and see what we're going about tracking the Frankmobile throughout the summer. It's definitely something I know tons of young kids, even in the high schoolers, chasing it around. So it's an icon here in Wisconsin. Very interesting to see. I wonder if it's going to get renamed. Say they change the recipe again, Evan, if it's going to get renamed to be the Wienermobile one day, or if it's going to forever be the Frankmobile.
They might as well. If they change it now, then, you know, anything can happen. You know, yeah. My world has been shaken.
That's the most Wisconsin headline of the week. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. Really appreciate, again, State Representative Francesca Hong for joining us, giving us a breakdown of her proposal and a bipartisan proposal to go before the state legislature to include Asian American and Hmong heritage in history lessons for public schools, giving us a breakdown of the budget negotiations and the shared revenue proposals. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. Have an excellent weekend. Dueling Tangents will be back at 2 p.m. on Monday. We'll talk to y'all then.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, one in five Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges. But many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.